Boker Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Yud-Tet, and we're holding at the bottom of Yud-Chet Amud Beit, right at the final line. Omar Rava Barada, Omar Rabbi Yitzchak. So we're still holding in the middle of this incredible story of Bikurim. We've got so many different shitas. Is the Hanocha Ma'akev? Is the Kriya Ma'akev? Is it just coming into the Chomot of the Azora? That's enough already to make it considered to be Roi, and so on. We continue now with finding other shitas that are not necessarily different, but they're different Mekeres for the halachas that we assumed before. Apparently not everybody agrees with them. And we also have a different child. Remember that a czar who eats bikurim, since bikurim are considered to be the equivalent of truma, because they are rachis. So if they're rachis, then that means that they have the same din as a chiyav misa b'nei shamayim on a czar that eats it. So at what point exactly bikurim me'imatai chayavim aleim? So at what point would the bikurim be ru'uyim to be eaten? And as such, that if a czar would eat such bikurim, he would be chayav misa b'dei shamayim. And there would be also the question of what would be the din, at what point is the kohen chayav, the malchus that we were talking about yesterday, if he eats it chutz l'choma, because it's only when it's roi to be eaten b'toch l'choma. So therefore, our question is, at what point may matai chayavim aleim? So Tosfos adds the additional question about the kohen. Rashi brings only the chiyav of the zah. The answer is, mishiru b'nei habayit. It's at the moment that they already have seen, so to speak, the moment that they come in to the chotzer of the Beis HaMikdash, and that allows them to be roya b'nei habayit. At that moment, they become osir for a czar to eat, and in the event that the kohen eats it, he would also be chay. Kiman. So now, what would be the marker for this? Ki haitana, the Tanya. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, bikurim miktzatan b'chutz, miktzatan b'fnim. If you've got bikurim that some of them are outside of the Azara, and some of them are inside, the din is shebachutz harem kechulin l'chol divrayim, and shebifnim harem kehegdish l'chol divrayim. So up until the time that they're actually brought in, they're not considered to be real bikurim yet, with their full kedusha, and only when they're inside, they at that point, they become kodesh in the actual knisa. Omer Rav Sheshes. Now, this sheet of Rav Sheshes is a repetition, really, of other sheetas that we learned yesterday, but he apparently holds not like the Mekaris that we brought yesterday and the day before, but he holds that this is going ki haitana. Where is the Tana that says Bikurim, only the Hanocha is Ma'akev, but Kriya is not Ma'akev, which of course is not like our Mishnah. So, Kiman ki Aitana, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shlosha Dvarim Mishum Shlosha Zikinim. One of these Shlosha Zikinim is Rabbi Yishmael. And Rabbi Yishmael Omer, Yochol Yala Adam Ha'isa Sheni Bizman Azab Birushalayim V'yochol Onu. So you might think that if you have Ma'isa Sheni Bizman Azab, and apparently Rabbi Yishmael holds that Ma'isa Sheni Bizman Azab is a D'oraisa, and that you would therefore, so that means that he holds that Kedusha Sa'aretz was Kichel HaShaita, the Kichel HaAtid Lavot. So now you would think, okay, so now you have a Chiyav D'oraisa that you have to bring it up to Yerushalayim. So maybe you could actually go ahead and bring it up to Yerushalayim today, and you could eat it. V'dinu, and actually, you know the answer to that, because we know that a Bechor, you cannot do that. Cannot eat the Bechor b'zman hazeh, and the Bechor needs to be brought up to Yerushalayim, and Ma'isa Sheni needs to be brought up to Yerushalayim, so Bechor ton avos makom, Ma'isa Sheni ton avos makom, then it makes sense to say that just like a Bechor can only be eaten if there's a Beis HaMikdash, av ma'aser eino ela b'fnei habayit. So Ma'isa can also only be eaten if there's a Beis HaMikdash. Now, this is very confusing for a number of reasons. I mean, if Lamaise, he holds that Kedushas HaAretz was Kitchel L'Shaita V'Kitchel L'Asid Lavai, so then, I mean, you would think that that means that he also would hold that Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kitchel L'Shaita V'Kitchel L'Asid Lavai. Well, we'll see that that's not necessarily the case. The dinim of Kedushas HaAretz and Kedushas Yerushalayim are very different. And in fact, as the Rambam paskins, the Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kedusha Mishub Shechina. Shechina is in Poto. Masha'in came the Kedusha that comes from Eretz Yisrael, that is not the Kedusha of the presence of the Shechina, that was made Kadosh by either the Bia Rishon as Kitcha because of the Kibush, and the Bia Shnia was because of Chazaka. So the two dinim are very... The three dinim, actually, are very, very different. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that, okay, we definitely have a Chi of the Araisa. Now, the reason this is confusing is only somebody who's totally without any brains, Lechora, would compare a Bechor to Maaser Sheni. Obviously, you can't eat a Bechor if you can't bring the dam on the Mizbeach. I mean, a Bechor is Kachim Kalim, right? It's like any other carbon. So what would I think? You could shech the carbon and you could eat it? How could you do that? Unless, of course, you hold that Kedushas Yerushalayim is Bizman Hazeh. But if you hold that, so then what's your question? If it has the same Kedusha, why can't you eat Maaser Sheni? There doesn't seem to be any basis for us to make an assumption about a Bechor that would be any different than the case of the Maaser Sheni. I mean, whatever I'm going to say about one, I would say about the other. It certainly doesn't make sense to say we're talking about a Bechor that requires a Mizbeach, and Bizman Hazeh, I don't have a Mizbeach, and therefore I can't eat it outside of you. I mean, obviously I can't eat it. I can't be matir it. What does it have to do with Maaser Sheni that doesn't require dam? Okay, so on the surface, this is like a shock. What in the world is this supposed to mean? And we're going to address all of these issues as we go along. But let's pretend right now that this sort of makes sense. So now the Gemara is going to ask the question, well, obviously, how can you compare Maaser Sheni to a Bechor? If a Bechor requires you to go and to do Matan Damim and Neimurim and the Mizbeach, and only that is going to be Matir, the Basar Bachila, so of course you can't eat it. But how can you claim that that teaches you that Maaser Sheni, that does not require any of that, that Maaser Sheni also? You're not going to be able to eat it? Yerushalayim Bizman Hazeh? Maybe it's Kadosh Bizman Hazeh. Says Rabbi Yishmael, well, what about Bikurim? Bikurim don't require matan damim, right? So Bikurim yochichu, just like Bikurim can only be eaten bizman that the Beis HaMikdash is kayam. Now again, we're not quite sure about all of this. What would that mean? What about is that because of the Hanocha? But then that would be because, which the Gemara is going to ask. How can you prove anything from Bikurim? Mala Bikurim shekein tu unim hanacha. Of course you can't eat Bikurim bizman hazeh. You weren't able to do the hanacha lifnei mizbach Hashem Elokecha. So what does that have to do with Maaser Sheni, where there's no such chiyuv whatsoever? That's just another simple question. Can I bizman hazeh rely on Kedushas Yerushalayim that it's still the same? So therefore, okay, so we have no raya from these two things. Of course, the obvious question is, why not make this a tzad hashava, right? We could say, Bikurim yochichu. Aye, Bikurim require hanocha. Bechor is mochiach. Bechor doesn't require hanocha. Aye, Bechor requires the dam on the mizbeach. Bikurim yochichu. V'chozer adin, lo rizek rizeh, v'lo rizek rizeh. But just like we see over here that Bechor and Bikurim both require Yerushalayim and you cannot have Bizman Hazeh, so too Maaser Sheni. Why don't we do that? That the Gemara will ask later. But it's clear right now that we can't do a Ma'atzat. So getting back, therefore, to the Maimer of Rabbi Yishmael, so what is the Mokor? Talmud Omar, what does it say? That's the same beautiful pasuk that we've been derish the whole time, and now we're going to see it as yet another beautiful diyuk. So it says, V'achalta lefnei Hashem Elokecha b'makom asher yivchar. There, what can you eat there? Ma'asar degancha tiroshcha v'yitzarecha b'chorot b'chorcha v'etzonecha, and so on, right? So, If it lists those inyanim, it's comparing Ma'asar deganchat yiroshchav yitzarecha to b'chorot b'korachav etzonecha. Okay, so what do we learn from there? Makish ma'asar lebechor, just like a bechor is eino ela lifnei habayit, so to ma'asar is eino ela lifnei habayit. So even though if it wouldn't have been for the pasuk, I wouldn't have been able to learn ma'asar from bechor because of the question that we asked. But the Torah says you can learn ma'asar bechor and it makes a hekesh. So it's just like bechor can only be brought bifnei habayit, so too ma'asar can only be eaten bifnei habayit. Now, this means, obviously, if we're going to make even the hekesh, it means that even where there is no problem of the point of needing to bring the korban or needing to have the anacha. So what we're talking about where we have a mitzias, that there's an iser of eating, that it's not bifnei habayit. So it was roy to be eaten totally, and we had brought everything before the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And afal pikein, the Torah is saying, you can only eat it bifnei habayit. So to meiser is only bifnei habayit. Okay, this leaves us still up in the air, because how do we know that it's not because of the fact that you haven't brought the dam on the mizbeach? How do you know that there's a heftza of iser on the bechor, even if there's no problem of the dam on the mizbeach? That's what we're talking about, apparently. Okay, this is a gzeres hakosuf, that there's an innate iser of eating it shalo bifnei habayit. So meiser is the same way. Now, let's ignore the details of this limud, because, as I said, there's still a lot of things that are up in the air. Why don't we make the mahatzad? And what are we talking about? It is Kedushas Yerushalayim latid lavo, and so on. We'll leave that for the side for a minute. But right now, I'm just trying to prove to you, says Reb Sheshes, that Reb Yishmol is basically telling you that Kriya is not ma'akev. Because if Reb Yishmol held that Kriya was ma'akev, imita, when we were saying that you can't compare Meiser to Bikurim, he should have said, Mala Bikurim Shekein Tu'unim Kriya V'Hanocha. Notice that all he said was, you can't learn Maaser from Bikurim. Why? Because Bikurim require Hanacha. Well, you could have said more than that. You could have said Bikurim are very different in that they require both Kriya and Hanocha. So since he only spoke about Hanocha, apparently he doesn't hold of our Mishnah. And he is saying that Kriya is not Ma'akev. And that would mean that when we said that there's the Tana that disagrees, that this is the Tana that disagrees. Omrevashi, that doesn't make sense, because everybody agrees that there's a mitzvah of Kriya, right? So what difference does it make whether it's Ma'akev? What we're looking for over here is differences between Maaser Sheni and Bikurim. Is not the fact that there's a mitzvah to do Kriya on Bikurim, is that not enough of a reason to say that Maaser Sheni is not to be learned out from Bikurim? What's the difference whether it's Ma'akev? That is a minor point. If we're just coming to compare whether it's fair to compare Maaser to Bikurim, I'll tell you absolutely not. Because Bikurim are more chomer. Bikurim require not only Hanacha, but they also require Kriya. I know you're going to tell me, well, but it's not Ma'akev, so what? So we could have asked that also, Nidi Ikuva Leka, but there's still a mitzvah. So why can't we use the mitzvah to be parak l'matzad? Lema mitzvah v'lifrak. So obviously, the reason that Rabbi Shmuel left out the din of Kriya is not because it's only Kriya that's ma'akev, only Hanukkah that's ma'akev, because that's irrelevant to asking a question on a ma'atzad. So I'll tell you, the reason that Rabbi Shmuel didn't bother mentioning Kriya is because of another reason. It's Kivan de Ika Bikure Hager. Look, there are some Bikurim that do not require Kriya in the first place. So let's say a Ger brings Bikurim. Since he needs to say in the Arami Ovid Avi, so what would he have to say in the Kriya on the Bikurim? That this is the Adama that bati ala oretz and so on, asher nishba Hashem la avotenu, but he can't say la avotenu, because he only now became part of Yisrael. So because of that, Rabbi Shmuel was unable to say that it's essential that there's a mitzvah of Kriya. It's not essential. There are times where there is no mitzvah of Kriya. So therefore, it's not mentioned. But this has nothing to do with whether Kriya is ma'akev at all. Okay, so now let's get back to the way. Now, I understand, so now we're giving up on this. Rabbi Shmuel is not the Ma'an Yomar. But, and now that you brought up the whole limud of it, the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Why did we go to look for a pasuk of the Hekesh? Why do we need the Hekesh? We could have stuck with what Rabbi Shmuel was saying, and we could have said, you're right, we cannot learn Ma'aser Sheni from Bechor. You're right, we cannot learn Ma'aser Sheni from Bikurim. But we can learn it from the combination, from the common denominator, can't we, of Bechor and Bikurim. So lahader dina v'teseh b'ma'atzad. How come you ignore that? That's such an important way of learning, especially when you started off saying, let's learn it from this. You say, no, we can't, and let's learn from this. Just put the two together. And now you can say, like we said before, it's true, Bechor requires dam, but Bikurim don't. And it's true, Bikurim require hanacha, but Bechor doesn't. Okay, so what's the common denominator? That the halacha is that when you have something that needs to be eaten in Yerushalayim, it means it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim when there is a Beis HaMikdash, not when there's not a Beis HaMikdash. The same thing is true of Ma'aser Sheni. Ma'aser Sheni needs to be eaten in Yerushalayim from the combination of Bikurim and Bechor. We see that it can only be eaten in Yerushalayim when you have a Beis HaMikdash and when you have a Mizbeach. So it still follows. Why did we just like throw that out? Well, because there's an obvious answer to that. There's a common denominator. The common denominator is that they both need the Mizbeach. How are you going to learn out from Ma'aser Sheni that has no connection to needing a Mizbeach at all, right? If it comes to Bikurim, you need the Mizbeach because of Hanocha b'fnei HaMizbeach. V'inachto l'fnei Hashem Elokecha. When it comes to Bechor, you need the Mizbeach because initially you have to have the Dam and the Emurim Agabe Mizbeach. So both of those are sharing the din of needing the Mizbeach. How are you going to apply a din to something that does not need the Mizbeach from something that, even a combination of things that do need the Mizbeach? Fine. So therefore, it was clear that we didn't bother even. It was so obvious. We didn't even bother making the Ma'atzad. Okay, now, getting back to the question. As we pointed out before, what exactly is the question? I mean, Rabbi Shmuel, how is he taking it for granted that he knows the din of the Bechor, but he doesn't know the din of Ma'aser Sheni? Why is one more obvious than the other? So, I mean, very clearly, we're talking about cases where the fact of there not being a Mizbeach does not impinge on the case, right? So that would be talking about where you've got a Bechor, and I already brought everything I need in the Bechor, and now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, and now I have the Basar of the Bechor, and I want to know if I can eat it, even though there's no Beis HaMikdash, right? Okay, so we're asking what the din would be. And for some reason, Rabbi Shmuel says, I know the din of the Bechor. Why does he know the din of the Bechor? So does he hold that the Mokum, that Yerushalayim and the Mokum HaMikdash are Kadesh Bizman HaZeh? So then you could be a Bechor even if you needed to bring a carbon, said Rashi. Because the Ma'an D'Omer holds that Kedusha Rishena of the Beis HaMikdash was never Botel, will hold that you can even bring Karbonos Bizman HaZeh, like we saw in Maseches Megillah, where it says that you could be Makriv Bizman HaZeh. Obviously, you'd have to build a Mizbeach and so on, but you could be Makriv even though there's no Bayit. So then, if that's the case, the din should be that the same thing is true of Ma'aser Sheni. So then, if he holds, therefore, that you could bring the Bechor, then why would he say, I know you can't eat the Bechor in Yerushalayim? And if he holds that Kiddush Rishon Kiddush Shaitav lo kitshalatid lavon, so then he would have the same question. What is the din of a Bechor when I already brought all of the dam and the emurim and I'm left only with the basar? What would be the din of the Bechor? He has the same exact question on the Bechor that he has on the Ma'aser Sheni. So why is he assuming that he knows the Bechor, and he just doesn't know the Ma'aser Sheni? I don't get it. Omer Avina, I'll explain to you the question. The truth is that he holds that even though Kedushas HaOretz was Kitchel HaShaita VeKitchel HaTid LaVo, he holds that Kedusha of Yerushalayim, Kitchel HaShaita VeLo Kitchel HaTid LaVo, that once the Mokom HaMikdash, the Mikdash was destroyed, the Mizbeach was destroyed, that took away the Kedusha Shechina. Okay, so then the only way that he's talking about here is obviously a Bechor that doesn't need the Mizbeach any longer. In other words, it's a Bechor that I did the Zrikas Adam before the Churban, and then I have the Basar, and comes along the enemies and the Chorav HaBayit, and now I have the Basar, and I want to know if I can eat the Basar. So why does Rabbi Yishmo, why is he convinced that no, when it comes to a Bechor, you absolutely cannot eat the Basar? Ah, the reason he's convinced about that is because of the nature of the pasuk that talks about the Bechor. Let's examine that pasuk for a moment, and we will see that the Torah compares the dinim of the dam of the Bechor to the din of the basar of the Bechor. Because what it says over there is, Ach Bechor Shor, or Bechor Kesev, or Bechor Eiz, Lo Tifteh Kodeshem. Now listen to this. Et damam tizrok al hamizbeach, et chelbam taktir, uvisaram yelecha. That's the pasuk. Now, two pasukim actually. Now, that means that in the same way that dam tizrok obviously requires the mizbeach, it's telling me a din that the basar requires the mizbeach, even though I already was zorek the dam. It's a gzeras hakosuv that the achila of a bechor is only in the presence of a mizbeach. Amazing. So we know that there are dinim like that, that the presence of the mizbeach is ma'akif, just like the din of a bezdin that's sitting in the lishkas hagozis. The presence of the mizbeach is ma'akif the hora of the lishkas hagozis. You can't be mechayev misa under such a case. That's true about the bechor too, not because of the fact that you have to be mater. It's already mutter. Ah. So therefore, makshinan bisaro ledomo. From this pasuk, we see that the Torah compares the basar to the dam. Just like the dam has to go on the mizbeach, so too the basar requires a mizbeach. And that's the solution, says Rabbi Yishmael, that since we now have the hekesh of ma'aser tebechor, so now we know that just like a bechor cannot be eaten without a mizbeach, so too ma'aser sheni, even though Yerushalayim may be there and so on, but it doesn't matter. Ma'aser sheni cannot be eaten by definition if there is no Beis HaMikdash. Wait a second. There's a big problem with this whole limud. And that is a problem that you may remember from our learning in Zvachim. And that is, there's a concept called lamad min halamad. So let's say we have something that is learned from a hekesh. Can it now teach something with another hekesh? So can you multiply these limudim? Or if you have something that you learned from a gzeres shava, can the gzeres shava now turn around and teach us something about a hekesh? And so on and so forth. So the Gemara in Zvachim goes through all of these combinations. Is a dover that was lamad through X, whatever that lamad was, can it now be milamed and teach something else, either through X or through Y or through Z? So substitute for those X, Ys, and Zs, hekesh, gzereshava, mametzino, and so on, right? So now, you are assuming, Rabbi Yishmael, that if I learnt out the basar from the dam, I can now compare the basar of the bechor to ma'aser sheni. But the problem is, that is using two hekeshes. One hekesh was the dam to the basar, and the other was the hekesh in the pasuk of ma'aser degantcha ubechorot zanecha, right? So that is using hekesh A to teach through hekesh B, a lamad from a hekesh through another lamad from a hekesh. But the Gemara in Zvachim came out that ein lamedim lamad min a lamad for kachim. Now, this is purely a din in Kachim. And remember that the Limudim of Kachim are very different than the rest of the Torah, because Kachim are the way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayochol wants to be treated. But if he doesn't tell you directly, this is the way I want to be treated, or he doesn't repeat, this is the way I want to be treated, or he doesn't tell you it's a chok, that this is absolutely the way you need to treat me, then you cannot assume that it's critical. And the same thing is true if you learn out from Hekesh A, the normal, okay, that's what I said about Hekesh A. Who gives you the right to attribute that to be ma'akev through Hekesh B? That's all only true about Kodesh, you see. Is Ma'aser Sheni Kodesh? No. So it's not really a lamad min alamad. Therefore, says the Gemara, look, we're learning it out to Ma'aser Sheni, and Ma'aser Dagan is chulin. So if Ma'aser Dagan is chulin, it's no problem of having a lamad min alamad, because those are all things where your own intelligence or where the initial expression is understood to be continuing onwards. Fine. Now I think we're ready to set up the competition over here. We've got a Tsuri and an Ori. Zoom, of course, has put them right next to each other. And may the fights begin. Okay, ask the Gemara. If we have Maser Dagan, I don't know how Zoom knows it. I really don't know. We have to speak to Reb Danny. He's got to have an explanation. So since Maser Dagan is chulin, we think that that's the answer. But it's not necessarily an answer. Why? Because there's a machlokas over there in Zvachim about what determines the context of the lomad min alamad. Is it the source or is it the derivation? Now, over here, the source is Kodesh. The derivation of Ma'aser Sheni is Chulin. So you're trying to tell me that because the derivation is Chulin, we have a right to use lomad min alamad. But there's a Madiyomar who says that it's the derivation that defines the context. It's the source, rather, that defines the context. And the source is Kodesh, because it's Bechor. So, if you hold like the Man Yomer in Zvachim, who says that it's what it is that the derivation is, that determines the context. Okay, that's an answer. But what will you do according to the Man Yomer? How come Rabbi Yishmael so cavalierly applies a Dover al-Lomad ben Ahekesh, namely, the busser from the dam, that's one ekesh, and he applies that with the second ekesh of the busser of Bechor to Ma'aser Sheni. You're not allowed to do that. What are you going to say? Answers the Gemara, a lamad that is internal is not considered to be a lamad min alamad. To learn the busser of the Bechor from the dam of a Bechor is not considered to be going out of one thing into another thing. The dam and the bus are one thing, even though I only know that din. But once I see that din, I understand it's two elements of the same kedusha. It's only where the first lomad would be an actual extension into a new issue. Then we have the problem of lomad min alomad. This is not really a case of lomad min alomad. Whew. Okay, so we've gotten here to our dinim. Through our dinim of Bikurim into the dinim of Ma'aser Sheni. Now we move on into the next case of the Mishnah. Finally, we've spent a very long time on the Bikurim, and the next thing that we had actually was Nogea Ma'aser Sheni, because the next thing was, if you eat Kotche Kotchim outside of the Kiloyim, which Bizman Azeh is outside of the Chomota Azara, or if you eat Kachim Kalim or Ma'aser Sheni, said the Mishnah, outside of Yerushalayim. Notice how slick that was, huh? We didn't even realize we were just going along, you know, Rabbi Shmuel says, and so on. And this was a raya about what the did is of Bikurim. Little did we know that this is actually directly Nogea, what we need to really understand about the Mishnah. So now getting to this din of eating Ma'aser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim, I don't understand why we are repeating this. Back in the very first Mishnah, this was last week, we had on Daf Yud Gimel. It says over there, examples of malchus is someone who eats maaser sheni and hegdesh shelo nivdu. So what does that mean, shelo nivdu? I mean, I can only be poda maaser sheni outside of Yerushalayim, right? So it's talking about eating it outside of Yerushalayim. But that's what this Mishnah is talking about. So it's both repeating exactly the same thing. Somebody who eats maaser sheni outside of Yerushalayim. What am I missing over here? Tanina chadazimna? Maaser sheni behegdesh shelo nivdu? Amar Rabbi Yossi bar Chanina, you're missing the whole point. This is a brilliant point. We're talking about totally different things. This Mishnah that we're reading right now is the Seifa, we're calling it the original Mishnah. We're talking about where the Maaser Sheni is ro'i to be brought to Yerushalayim. The person also is tohar, and he's eating it outside of Yerushalayim. And it's saying that if the Maaser Sheni is kosher, and the person is ro'i to eat it, and he eats it outside of Yerushalayim without pidyon, so then he's chayev. The first Mishnah, that was talking about a whole different case. It was talking about in Yerushalayim, but, so what do you mean in Yerushalayim? It says if you eat it without pidyon, you can't be put in Yerushalayim. Oh, wait a minute. It's talking about where the Maaser Sheni itself is tamei, or the person himself is tamei. And in that case, if he eats it in Yerushalayim, it is chayev malchus for the tumah. Why does it say shelo niftu? That we'll have to explain in a moment. But where do we know that there is an iser lav to be mechayev you malchus for tumah? That's our first consideration. The second consideration, you understand yourselves, because we really talked about it before. And that was, if the maaser is tamei, can you be poda it even in Yerushalayim? So we said you could be poda it in Yerushalayim. Remember from the comparison of Se'eto by Yosef HaTzadik, and that he sent mas'ot. So the mas'ot over there meant that they were eating, things that they were going to be eating, right? And we said, therefore, if you can't eat it, you can be paid at it. If it's tummy, it's not right to be eaten. So then you can be paid at it. That we'll get to in a moment. But our first question is, if you're telling me that there's a special malchus for somebody who eats it bituma, where is that iser? That comes from Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer, note the lashon of the vidui ma'aser. Lo bi'arti mimenu bitame. By the way, you might be thinking to yourselves, hey, wait a minute. If there's a din of vidui ma'aser, so isn't that the same thing as mikra bikurim? As a matter of fact, the din of vidui ma'aser is in the Torah, the next pasuk after mikra bikurim. My gosh. So why were we asking all along, well, you know, bikurim is more chomor because it requires kriya, and so does ma'aser sheni. So Tosis points out that there's no relationship between the din of vidui ma'aser and the din of mikra bikurim. First of all, the vidui ma'aser isn't even said on ma'aser sheni in the year of ma'aser sheni. You say vidui ma'aser 2 years later, right? And it's just talking about how you dealt with the ma'aser. So it's not said on the ma'aser sheni. It's said after a year of ma'aser ani, anyway. Okay, just to take that out of your mind in case it was itching you at the bottom of your brainstem. I just want to make sure you don't have to scratch. So, Rabbi Shimon says, if you take a look at the vidui ma'aser, so it says, very funny lashon, lo bi'arti mimenu bitamei. What do you mean bitamei? In tuma. In tuma means in any aspect of tuma. That's the point. Whether I'm tamei and it's tahar, or whether I'm tahar and it's tamei, that's the point of bitamei. So generally, there was no element of tuma involved in my achil of the maaser sheni. So that tells me that it was osur. Now, continues the braisa, v'heichan muzar al achilein yodea. But it doesn't say over here, don't. It just says, I didn't. So if I say I didn't, it's mashma that I shouldn't. But where does it say don't? So where that azhara comes from, I don't know. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. Now this is said in the middle of our quoting from the Braita. Hold on, what do you mean you don't know? Why don't you know? It's a feferish pasuk, at least partially. Tuma taguf? I mean, if he was tummy, and why he can't eat is quite obvious. It says beferish in the pasuk that in the event, and there it lists the various tumas of the Adam, and it says, ish ish bizera arein, vutsarua ozov, or anuge b'chol tamei nefesh, o ish ashiyiga b'chol sheret. So what does it say? Nefesh asher tigabo v'tama ad ha'arev, v'lo yochal min ha'kodashim, ki imrachatz b'saro b'mayim. Now think about that pasuk, guys, because it's a very strange pasuk. First it says, nefesh asher tigabo v'tama ad ha'arev. So what does that mean? Until Harif Shemesh, the person will be tame until the sun sets. Now read the rest of the pasuk. V'lo yochal min ha'kodashim, he can't eat anything that's kodesh, kim rachatz b'saro b'mayim, unless he went to the mikveh. Went to the mikveh? But going to the mikveh is not enough. It just said a minute ago that he would be tamei ad ha'arev, right? Well, make up your mind. Ah, we're talking about two different things over here. Lo yochal min ha'kodashim, something that has any level of kedusha. What has a level of kedusha that you're allowed to eat from if you just went to the mikveh? Truma? No, we know that. That's the first Mishnah in Masechet Brachot. Mishah shakohanim nichnasim lechol betrumatam. What's that hour? That's Harif Shemesh hour. So what is mutter to eat even if you just went to the mikveh and the sun hasn't set? You know what's mutter? Maisa sheni. So then that means that the last part of the pasuk says a lav. Lo yochal min ha'kodashim ki imrachatz b'saro b'mayim. So I don't understand how a Tana can possibly say, well, I don't know where it says not to. I mean, any kindergarten child knows where it says not to. It's this pasuk. For heaven's sakes, you never learned Emor. So therefore, I don't understand what we're talking about over here. What am I missing? Why are you saying eini yodea if you are yodea? Ah, so if there's a beferish or pasuk, how indeed do we explain telling me, eini yodea? Ah, of course, tumas haguf ve'ed yaksiv, that's true. But one part where it's tameh, you said whether I'm tameh, okay, that part I do know, yes. But whether it's tameh, that I don't know. That's what it meant in the Brachah when it says, where does it say that if ma'aser sheni is tameh, that it's usur for me to eat? Ah. That's what we're talking about. So getting back to another of our favorite psukim, since it says, lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha, and goes ahead and eats basar degancha. Oh, and look at that word, b'sharecha. Sounds familiar? Yes. It talks about a bechor, that b'sharecha tochlenu atamei v'atohar. A bechor with a balmum is eaten b'sharecha, even though you're not allowed to use it for giza, v'aveda. There are certain isurim on the b'chor that continue even if the b'chor is a balmum, and how to treat its basar, and so on and so forth. But there's no isur tuma. You can eat it wherever you want. There's no din of a special place, and there's no din of taira. And the pasuk says you can eat it hatomei v'hatahor together in the same place. And therefore, what does that mean? That Tana Devei Rabbi Shmuel Afilu Tamei V'Torochli Bekara Achat Vein Choshashim. You've got Basar of a Bechor. You've got a guy who's Tamei and a guy who's Tahar, and they can eat out of the same platter, even though the Basar, when the Tamei is going to touch it, is going to become Tamei. There's no Isser when it comes to Basar Bechor if the Bechor is Tamei or if the person eating it is Tamei, right? Now, it says in that pasuk, b'sharecha. So the same lo tuchal lechol b'sharecha that it says by Maaser Sheni, is referring to the same Bisharecha that you are allowed to eat Betuma that it says by Bechor, brilliant limud. So therefore, just like the Tameh that was mutter by Bechor, so Hech Tameh Deshari Lecha, Gabe Tahor Hasam, I allowed you to eat Betumas Aguf or Betumas Basar, Bisharecha of the Bechor. In this Sharecha, we were talking about Maasar de Gancha, Lo Tuchal Lecho Bisharecha, an amazing, beautiful diak that the same Hekesh, same Zereshava, will teach me what you are allowed to eat of the Bechor, you're not allowed to eat of the Maaser Sheni. Notice the complex interrelationships over here of Maaser Sheni with Bechor. It's getting really interesting. So, therefore, I learned from here an Isser Lav. So now we understand. The Mishnah that we had back on Yud Gimel, that was talking about Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. And if you eat it, Betuma, so then you're Chayev because of the Pasuk that we just brought. But wait a minute. It said in the Mishnah, if you eat it without pidyon, and if it's in Yerushalayim, you can't be poda it. So what's the point of saying without pidyon? Ah, minolan de bar pidyahu? How do I know that the truth is you are able to be poda it, even though it's in Yerushalayim? That's from the limit of Rabbi Elazar that we had before. Minayin lemaaser sheni shenitma. Shepodimoto afilu biYerushalayim Talmud lomar ki lo tuchal se'eto. And what does se'et mean? It means ain se'et ela achila. The meaning of se'et is to eat because they put down the masot from Yosef in front of Binyamin vayisa masot meitpanav and the brothers. So you see, ki lo tuchal se'eto means not only ki yirchak mimcha hamakom, but even if it's not ki yirchak mimcha hamakom, but lo tuchal se'eto, you're still going to be able to be paid it. V'tzarta hakesev, because you're not able to eat it. Even though I'm only not able to eat it because I'm tamei. Omer of Bevi, Omer of Asi. Let me tell you something else you learned from this amazing use of the word se'eto. How do I know that if the Maaser Sheni is a regular Maaser Sheni, Torah Maaser Sheni, and you are basically 1 foot out of Yerushalayim, right? Psiachat, chutz lachoma. Psiachat in English is 1 foot. So you're 1 foot outside of Yerushalayim, and now the Pasuk says, ki yirchak mimcha makom, the place is far away. I mean, come on, 1 foot is not far away. Why don't you just take it into Yerushalayim? And you want to be paid in? Yeah, 1 step away. Come on, stop being so pedantic. Okay, for heaven's sake. All right. Man, oh man. When I don't get his puns, it's hell to pay, right? But here we got to argue about whether a step is a footstep. Can it be called a step or can it be called a foot? Or must it be called a footstep? Now it's all going to be all machloikas about ikvus of the Mashiach. Is ikvus of the Mashiach either a step away or only just 1 foot away? Heaven only knows where this is going to take us. So you got it. That's using his own medicine.
Shelf just the definitions of words and typing it to be very precise whenever possible.
You know, boy, that's beneath the belt, man, I'm telling you. All right. So anyway, how do I know that if it's 1 step/foot/footstep outside of Yerushalayim, that itself allows you to be paid it, even though it's clearly not ki yirchak mimcha makom? But it also says, ki lo tuchal se'eto. Why does it say ki lo tuchal se'eto? So what that means is, even if I'm 1 step out, but I'm not able to carry it, I'm tired, whatever. So it's all a question of carrying it. If it needs carrying, then I'm able to be paid at it, even though it's a very short carrying. But wait a minute, wait a minute. We just use that pasuk kiloto chalse eto to mean eating, not carrying. And it was the whole basis of that beautiful drasha by Rabbi Elazar that if it's tameh, you can be poted even in Yerushalayim. And now you're flipping it and you're telling me it's talking about outside of Yerushalayim and it's talking about carrying it. I mean, how can it be both things? Didn't we just need it? I mean, barley lit at Rabbi Elazar? We did. But actually, there's two bases here of drushes, because if it was only coming to tell me that it has to be royal achila, then say so. Kilotuchala ochlo. I mean, whoever heard of using the word se'eto to mean achila? It's merames to achila. But I mean, if you're talking only about achila, so talk about achila. Kilotuchala ochlo. What are you saying se'eto for? So obviously, it's also coming to mean to carry. Oh, wait a minute. I mean, so then maybe that's what it means. I mean, if you're telling me that Rav Asi is right and that the word se'eto is there to teach me that even if I'm one footstep out, it's still able to be podoy because I don't want to carry it. So maybe that's the whole meaning. What gives you the right to use that word to mean eating? Because se'eto is also a strange way to talk about taking something into Yerushalayim. You could say, lo tuchal lekachto, lo tuchal litlo, I don't know. But why se'eto? I mean, it isn't really a function of the se'ed, is it? I mean, it's the carrying it. That's the problem. So put it in a FedEx box. I mean, I understand. It can't mean literally se'eto. So therefore, using that strange word allows us to be medayik two separate diyukim from that very word. So once talking about being right at the gateway to Yerushalayim, Yosef, Rebbe Hanina, and Rebbe Hoshaya become Iboyelohu. Now there's two girsaot over here. Some have the girsa apitcha de Yerushalayim mahu. What if the Maaser Sheni is right at the door? But the Bach changes this to be Yosef Rav Chanina v'Rav Hoshaya apitcha de Yerushalayim. Rav Chanina v'Rav Hoshaya were standing at the gateway of Yerushalayim and they asked about this sugya. Which brings us to another point. And that is that if we take a look at the kuntres, then that's the girsa that he has. But the kuntres is not Rashi. But if you take a look in the Rashi, it says that the last words that Rashi wrote before he died was the Pirish on Kilo Tuchal. That Lo Tuchal, Rashi is Masber, Mirchsiv Ki Imra Chatz. Take a look at the Rashi, which is four lines down in the smaller lines of the Rashi from the top. In other words, eight lines down from the very top. Mirichtiv ki imra chatz. Mashma harachatz tahor. Rabbeinu gufo tahor v'yatza nishmato b'tahara. At the moment that he wrote that word tahor, so this is a remez, of course, to the same thing of Hashrecha, sheyatza nishmasei b'tahara. It's the same thing. Rashi died writing the word tahor. So gufa Torah v'yotza nishmasa b'tayra, and the rest of this mesechet he did not write his final version of, and therefore this lo shavik here over here was not written by him. Mikan ve'elech comes lashon talmido, who is the Rivan, and now starts the same pirush again because Rashi didn't finish even those lines. And the next words from here till the end of the Masechet are Rashi's son-in-law, which is brought over here as Talmido, but as the Masechet Hashas points out, the Rivan, Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Nosan, was also Rashi's son-in-law, not only Talmidai, and by referring from this point onwards to the Pirush HaKuntres, we'd actually be referring to the Rivan and not to Rashi. Anyway, very beautiful statement that someone inserted over there into the Pirush HaRashi. But anyway, getting back, I just thought it was kedai to mention, huh? So getting back here to the correct girsa. Okay, so maybe they themselves were standing at the gateway to Yerushalayim themselves, and that would be the meaning of Yosef Rabbi Hanina, a Pisco de Yerushalayim, and they said like this. Our Girsa is they said, what would be if you're right at the gate and you're carrying Meiser Sheni, and it's in a backpack, and you were already coming in to the gates of Yerushalayim, but the backpack was outside of Yerushalayim. So over here, the other Girsa would be beginning with Pshita. If hu b'chutz u'masa obifnim, a person is outside of Yerushalayim, but his backpack is inside of Yerushalayim, because it wasn't a backpack, it was a fanny pack. And he got the front pack into Yerushalayim, but he himself is still outside of Yerushalayim. So in that case, if the Meiser Sheni was already inside, so then for sure you cannot take off, be paid to it, take off the Kedusha. Why? Because Kelatu Mechitzot. At that point, the Mechitzot Yerushalayim already absorbed it, and it is now considered to be Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim. But what would be the din if he had a backpack and he had come into Yerushalayim, but what he was carrying is still outside of Yerushalayim? Tanelu Ahusaba B'Deveir B'Shimon B'Yochai. Now, you know, if there's a certain old man by Reb Shimon Bar Yochai, I mean, we know who that is. I mean, that's got to be Eliyahu Hanavi, like Tosfos points out elsewhere, right? So anyway, so he told him that this is clear from the pasuk. It says, Ki yirchak mimecha hamakom. So what do you mean, mimecha? Mimecha means from the entirety of you. Mimilu echa. It's not just ki yirchak mimecha. Obviously, that's kirechak mimcha. But over here, it's telling us, even if it's your whole present, including your backpack. So that would mean that only if any element of you had come into, had not yet come into Yerushalayim, but if any element of you had come into Yerushalayim, either you or the backpack, it's not considered to be michutz Yerushalayim anymore. And it's not kirchak mimcha. So the answer to your question is, you cannot take off the Meiser Sheni. But Rav Papa said, okay, that's where it's a backpack or a front pack. But what about if it's on the stick? And this is a kid who's running away and he's got the stick, the classic stick with the bag of Meiser Sheni tied over the stick. All of those illustrations in the comic books, they're all based on this Gemara. There he was carrying. Yes, a plaid kerchief. Excellent. So all of that was based on this Gemara, where what would the child be carrying with him? Obviously, the Meiser Sheni that was going to steal from his father when he's running away. So he was taking the Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim. Now the question is, what if the stick didn't get into Yerushalayim? That's not Milu Echa, or maybe it is, because after all, you're carrying it, Teku. This became a major problem because you have to be machmer since it was left with the teku. If you were on a runaway, how exactly can you get into Yerushalayim carrying that plaid kerchief? So this is still a shaila. Rav Asi, Rav Yochanan, at what point do you become me'emasai chayavin alav? When would you be chayav for the case in the Mishnah? We have Meiser Sheni that you eat chutz Yerushalayim. That's only from the moment that ra'a p'nei achoma. So at that moment, if you eat it outside, once it was already in for a moment into the Yerushalayim, if you eat it outside, you're chayav malchus. But if it never got into Yerushalayim at all, then there would be no chiyav of malchus before it comes into Yerushalayim. Because the point in the pasuk is that the Meiser Sheni that you are eating outside of Yerushalayim, that you're supposed to be podeh. But the lo tuchal le'achol b'sharecha bechlal is only once it was in Yerushalayim. So, k'siv, on the one hand it says, lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochalenu, so you're supposed to eat only in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'makom asher yivchar, and there it's that's the lashon of what it means. And it says, "Lo tuchal le'achol b'sha'arecha." So that means, where the pasuk of "Lifnei Hashem Elokecha tochlenu" applies, then it also applies that "Lo tuchal le'achol b'sha'arecha." But where it doesn't apply, outside of Yerushalayim? So the two chiyuvim are actually interrelated.